We sent our fabulous intern, Meghna, she's from WCPN, she's Phoebe Petrovic. We sent her last night outside the arena to gather sound. Now, there were the usual bongo players. And, of course, there were protesters and a big replica of Donald Trump's head, complete with orange hair. It's called the Trump Hut, and people went inside.
It's just weird to be in here, weird enough to, like, want to conversate.
We were also inspired a bit by the Occupy movement, and we started thinking about the idea that you could actually occupy Donald Trump's head. And so if you sit inside there, it gives you a bit of that feeling. It's empty right now.
What we have here is cereal box Trump Flakes and Clinton Crunch. It's a light play on a serious topic. So the Trump Flakes, we do have him here. The Flakes do kind of look like his hair a little bit.
I think both candidates stink. And this young lady, it's called a voter survival kit, and that's a clothespin. You can use this in a voting booth because it's going to smell so bad.
Congratulations, Dad. We love you.
Yeah, yeah.
And those last sounds, Trump supporters outside the arena cheering as they watch him be nominated on a big TV screen. Here now, political analyst Paris Denard is here. He's a Republican strategist, a Trump supporter. So, Paris, craziness outside. But what do you think about inside? I'm thinking when we first started on this election road trip, you know, you told us, I don't know, I think that a more appropriate candidate would be, for instance, a sitting governor.
Right.
You soon became a Trump supporter. Last night, against all odds, you watch him nominated.
It was an amazing moment, I think, for Donald Trump, his family, and all the persons who had worked from day one to get him to that point. What's amazing is that he really factually beat 16 other people.
Yes, yeah.
And they're in huge names, long-term names, major people in the Republican Party to become the nominee, despite the fact that there were people still at the convention days before trying to thwart that effort.
Yeah.
He overcame the 16, overcame the Never Trump movement, and he's now our nominee. It's an amazing journey.
It sure is. But some people say, you know, getting this week, this portion of the journey hasn't been all that pretty. Now, we just want to take care of some business here. The Trump campaign is acknowledging that some of Melania Trump's speech Monday night, parts were lifted from Michelle Obama's speech in 2008. In a statement, speechwriter Meredith McIver accepted responsibility. She says she's offered her resignation. It was rejected by Donald Trump. You know, we've talked about this, perhaps in your view, ad nauseum, that some Republican operatives are slack-jawed, that's a quote, over the handling of this. It took so long to just get to that. But I want to put it aside because you've expressed your thoughts on it and want to move on. What about, though, the fact that then last night the message was supposed to be make America work again, and we heard very little about jobs in the economy. We heard jail Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, that was an interesting point that I also noticed as well. But I think what's happening is the Trump campaign, the convention staff is trying to get as much time focused on who Donald Trump is as a person. We've known Hillary Clinton, Secretary Clinton, for 40-some-odd years in the public sphere. We only know Donald Trump by how the Clinton campaign is trying to define him and what we've seen on The Apprentice and what we've seen of him as a mogul, as a businessman. So each opportunity, each night that they get to highlight him as a father, highlight him in his personal story, to really connect with the American people, the thought that he was a blue-collar billionaire, you know, those images and those messages, I think that's what they're trying to seize upon.
Yeah, but, you know, we saw one of your colleagues, another analyst, Republican analyst, Margaret Hoover, you know, the descendant of a
President Hoover.
She kind of fell apart this morning on CNN. She said, this is a circus. They are not talking about any of the policies that counteract the Democratic policies.
Right. But I think Margaret's, first of all, not on the Trump train. And secondly, I think the important thing is that what the convention is for. The convention is about messaging, about who the candidate is. We have a new candidate that people do not know, that really people do not understand who he is in this new role as a political figure and as the Republican nominee. So traditionally, you would be talking about policies, and traditionally, you'd be doing that and going back to their record. He doesn't have a record. Mm. He doesn't have a policy platform for years of being in the public sphere. So what does he have? His personal story that he's trying to share and try to manage it for himself, because he was successful in the campaign saying little Marco. He was successful saying low energy Jeb. Now he's got to do the same for himself, define who he is and why he wants to be president.
We should say that Speaker Paul Ryan was there last night and did touch on the economy a bit.
True.
Let's listen.
Progressives like to talk, like our president, like to talk forever about poverty in America. And if high-sounding talk did any good, we'd have overcome those deep problems long ago. This explains why, under the most liberal president we have had so far, poverty in America is worse, especially for our fellow citizens who were promised better and who need it most.
You know, I just want to, you know, point out that he did speak of poverty, but he also is one of the, you know, the few establishment Republicans to be there. Senate Leader Mitch McConnell was booed when he got on the stage, and Paul Ryan, that was a very cool reception for him. Is it kind of over for that wing of the party?
I won't say that it's over, but I will say that you have two, you have the establishment, you have the grassroots, and the grassroots do not like the party establishment types. And the party establishment types were the ones that were running that Donald Trump beat. So it's sort of normal to see that type of reaction that you get from people who they feel that they cannot trust and they feel that have let him down. I don't feel that way, but this is the time that we have to unify. This is the time we have to say, okay. And I believe that's what Speaker Ryan and Mitch McConnell were trying to do yesterday, saying we can work with Donald Trump. We can get this agenda done on the House side, and we can get the Supreme Court nominees that we want on the Senate side. So I think they were trying to unify both fractions. And Mitch McConnell had his own problem when he ran in the Senate race, remember, with establishment in the grassroots. And so he's trying to mend fences, and we'll move forward, hopefully united, to do so.
Well, speaking of mending fences, Ted Cruz is scheduled to speak tonight. He has not yet truly formally endorsed Donald Trump, and he didn't show his speech, apparently, to the committee. And we heard people on Fox and Friends this morning complaining about that. Fox News people saying, not Fox News, Fox and Friends people saying, why wasn't Ted Cruz, why didn't they demand to see his speech? Why are they allowing him to speak without seeing it?
Well, if you want another empty chair Clint Eastwood moment, you better ask to see that speech. I mean, it's a very daring thing that you to do for someone like a Ted Cruz who has historically gone off script and done it and marched by the beat of his own drum. So it's going to be it's a dangerous move, but hopefully the message that Ted Cruz sends out to the people that are watching is party unity and that he's 100% behind Donald Trump. If not, it's inappropriate for him to do that. And there's been other candidates like John Kasich who's not here. And I know for a fact that Governor Kasich, much to my surprise, has been thwarting the efforts of some people to speak on the convention from Ohio. So this convention has got to, we've got to unify around Donald Trump.
And just very briefly, you can see the time there. We've got about 30 seconds. There's an outbreak of norovirus among the, you know, through the California delegation. Donald Trump, an infamous germaphobe. You know, might he stay away even more?
He won't be kissing the babies from California tonight.
That's right. Here now, political analyst Paris Denard, also a Republican strategist and a Donald Trump supporter. We'll be having reports from you all week, so we can't wait to hear what you think when Donald Trump does perhaps enter in a bubble or something.
It'll be a gold bubble if he does.
To speak. Paris, thank you.
Thank you.